Words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Some of you have heard me recount this story before, so please bear with me. But as many of you already know, this past summer, David had a major heart attack. And when he was in hospital at the University of Edmonton, I came to pick him up on the last day to take him home after he had been treated by some wonderful caregivers up there. And I was a little peeved because the cardiologist had been to see him already, and I had hoped to be there in time because, of course, I had questions and I wanted to talk to him as well. Yeah, David goes. And I do trust you, dear, I do, but I did want to hear it from the horse's mouth, right? Anyway, I got there, and he said, no, the cardiologist has been and gone, and I went, oh. So anyway, and then he said, oh, there he is, he's sitting at that computer terminal on the other side of the hall. I said, well, I'm going to go see him, and David goes, no, you don't have to do that, he's busy, don't bother him. I said, I just want to say thank you. So I beetle across the hall and introduce myself to Dr. McMurtry, and said I was David's wife, and so on and so forth. And so he answered some questions I had and reviewed what he had told David. And one of the things he said was, I understand you two used to smoke. And many of you know, we did, on and off, for years and years and years. But we stopped a year ago, October. So I said to him, yes, we did, but we've stopped, and we're not smoking anymore. He said, because that was a key reason for his heart attack. And he said, it's really important that you don't start again, because it'll be really difficult for him. And I said, oh, no way I'm going back there. No way. I swear on a stack of Bibles. And I said, and I'm a priest, so you know that this means something. And I said, I'm a bossy priest. I'll make sure he doesn't smoke again. And then Dr. McMurtry, maybe because it's a good Irish Catholic name, he went to this place. He said, what, or he'll go to hell? And I stopped and I thought, and I said to him, I don't know if he's going to heaven or hell. I don't know. And it makes me think about our gospel lesson today. Who does make it into the kingdom of God? Am I a sheep or a goat? We celebrate the reign of Christ, or Christ the King Sunday today. It is the last Sunday of the liturgical church year, closing out the season of Pentecost. Ordinary time. It's kind of like New Year's in the church year. And of course, next Sunday is First Advent. How did that happen, right? So today is kind of like a bridge, or maybe a hinge, right, between the two liturgical seasons and between the end of one year and the beginning of another year in the church. Pentecost is ending. Advent is about to begin. And today we hear in our gospel an apocalyptic vision of the reign of Christ the King, Jesus' second coming. Jesus has come again. The texts all through November leading up to this day and for today speak to this vision of Christ's coming again to reign and what that means for us. As Pentecost has been winding up this month, the readings have been about being prepared, being ready for the day of his return. Do you remember when we heard about the bridesmaids and their lamps with oil, and how some were awake and vigilant and ready and had extra oil, and some were complacent and weren't prepared, and their lamps went out and they fell asleep and they missed the master when he came. Readings about not being taken by surprise when that second coming occurs, because that day and hour is unknown. Right? We heard readings about being surprised by a thief in the middle of the night. The texts also ask us what we are doing with the gift of the knowledge of the good news. Last week, We heard about the talents given to the servants or the slaves by their master and how they increased or didn't increase the gift that was given them. Everything has been pushing us to examine the state of our hearts and our faith if Jesus returned right now, right now. What if he returned today, this moment? And if you're not sure where you stand, well, you're not alone. Jesus tells us in today's gospel that when he returns, there will be a reckoning of the righteous and the unrighteous, a separation of the sheep and the goats, those who will receive eternal life and those who will not. So the question begs, doesn't it? Am I a sheep or a goat? If someone called you a sheep today, would you feel flattered or insulted? Heard that metaphor a lot, didn't we, during the pandemic? When people on one particular side call those on the other particular side sheep, inferring that people couldn't think or make decisions for themselves, if they chose to be vaccinated or not vaccinated, wear a mask, not wear a mask, follow mandated protocols, not follow mandated protocols. What a bunch of sheep. What a bunch of followers. And while sheep might not be the cleverest animals on the planet, there is more to them than meets the eye, as is the case we are learning with most of God's creatures. Sheep are actually incredibly intelligent. They have very impressive cognitive abilities, and just like humans, they form deep and lasting bonds with each other. They stick up for one another in fights. They grieve when they lose a friend. They experience all of the same emotions that we do, including fear, joy, boredom, anger, happiness, to name a few. Most of God's creatures do. But in addition to being incredibly smart, they also have wonderful memories. They can remember up to 50 individuals, whether sheep or human, for years at a time. And today, well, what about goats? Ironically, when we call someone a goat, it's the acronym G-O-A-T. Have you seen that, right? Greatest of all time, G-O-A-T. Like Tom Brady, the quarterback, or Meryl Streep, at the pinnacle of their careers, people are calling them goats. It's becoming a huge compliment. But goats don't come out on top in this apocalyptic vision as told by Jesus. When he speaks of the sheep and goats, he's actually taking a slice out of Palestinian life. The sheep and goats are all mixed up during the day, but separated at night, because the goats need shelter from the cold, while the sheep with their woolly coats are hardy enough to remain outside. And the sheep tended to be white, the goats black. So Jesus applies this act of separation to the kingdom of God at his second coming. Sheep versus goat, white versus black, right versus left. Love your neighbor as yourself. Versus, it's all about me, righteous versus unrighteous. Here's why I think that sheep are smarter than people give them credit for. I actually have a little bit of experience with sheep. When I was in university, I had met a fellow who was a sheep farmer. And on weekends, I used to take the train out to the farm from the University of Toronto to north of London, Ontario, and spend the weekend with his family. And he looked after the sheep and the pigs. And I remember my family came to join us one time, and it was time to bring the sheep in for the night. So Rick, who is the farmer and the shepherd, guided them from the field in the paddock. They followed him. They just followed him to the ramp leading up into the barn. And I was to stand at the bottom of the ramp and not move. He said, just don't move. So, yeah, you're laughing, aren't you, David? Yeah. Rick leads them up. My family's there watching, and I want to impress them, right? So, of course, I'm not going to just stand there. I'm going to help, right? I'm going to help. Well, the sheep just scattered all over the place, and Rick just stood there and looked at me like this, yeah. But it makes me think that sheep won't just follow anyone. They learn who it is they should follow, who they need to follow, who they can trust. And what happens if there is no shepherd? Isaiah tells us, doesn't he, in chapter 53? Oh, we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way. Same for us. When we're all following our own ideals, idols, desires, it's easy to become lost or find oneself even in mortal danger. The sheep trusts the one who leads them, takes care of them, and yes, loves them. We heard about that in the other readings this morning. Who has their best interests at heart? The tender shepherd. So I have no problem being called a sheep if it means I am a follower of the most tender shepherd, Jesus. And as followers, what is it that Jesus asks of us? Well, it's really clear. Jesus spelled it out in today's gospel. Anything you do or did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you do or did for me. That's it. Know this, though. The righteous who obtain eternal life by serving one another do it not out of a sense of duty or to fulfill the law or to save their own souls, but in response to so great a love, it has transformed them. And transformed, it simply becomes our nature, our desire to give back what we have received, to invite as we were invited, to love as we have been loved, to be given the opportunity to live a life that is fulfilled and abundant in a world full of peace and unity. That's what Jesus has us working towards. So how do these apocalyptic scriptures about the end times and how we stack up based on our righteousness, how do they connect to Advent? Well, in our liturgical calendar, Advent is an apocalyptic season. Sounds a bit weird, right? Not what we're used to. Isn't it about preparing for the arrival of a wonderful baby who will teach us to love? Isn't it about preparing for Christmas and all the lovely things we associate with that? Apocalyptic? Doesn't sound like catastrophe or conflagration or zombies or the earth blowing up. That's how we think of apocalypse, don't we? But it isn't. The Greek word for apocalypse is apokalypsis, and it means revelation. Which makes a whole lot more sense, doesn't it? For God revealed himself to humankind, to us, in Jesus. God was born, became flesh, visible, tangible, one of us, born a baby into a messy world just like the rest of us. And that revelation we celebrate is the Feast of Christmas. Today, the reign of Christ reminds us that not only are we to make ready, to make preparations to receive the infant Christ, we mustn't forget to look ahead to his coming again as sovereign ruler of all time and of all hearts. Hearts that we, hopefully, as his followers, have helped to prepare. That's what he asked us to do. That's what he came to the world to ask of us to do. During Advent, we will hear the words, prepare ye the way of the Lord. But as we do that, let's remember that we not only celebrate his birth and the good news that is wrapped up in that little baby, we must continue to cultivate our faith life and our commitment to him in preparation for his coming again as King of all. And ask ourselves, when that day arrives, will I be a sheep? Or a goat. Amen.